You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
This morning, I want to talk to you for just a few moments. We've been talking about joy. Last Sunday, we talked about great joy. Today, I want to talk to you for a few moments about how we truly experience joy in our lives. My prayer is for everyone within the sound of my voice that you'd experience a new joy this Christmas. A joy that would fill your hearts. A joy that would change situations in your life. My prayer is that you'd experience joy in a new and a fresh way. Joy is one of the greatest gifts that Jesus came to bring us. When he stepped out of heaven, when he decided to come to a manger, and he would 33 years later die for us on a cross. One of the main reasons he came was to give us joy. In fact, like we read last Sunday in Luke 2, 10 through 12, when the angels announced his birth, they said this to the shepherds. And the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." As Jesus laid in that manger, swaddling clothes, it was a sign to the world that he was coming to bring great peace. Jesus came to bring great joy for all the world. For every man, for every woman, for every child, that announcement still holds true today. The announcement that he came to bring great joy holds true. It's one of the truly the greatest gifts that we can receive from Jesus in our life today, right now, at this very moment. It's not something that we read about and we think down the road, hopefully someday, I'll experience joy. The joy that Jesus brings into our life is available today, right now, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what the story of your life is up to this point. Jesus loves to rewrite stories. He loves to change your life. He's available to you today. This great joy that we've been talking about is available to you today. It's available to you every day of your life. No matter what you face, no matter what you walk through, joy is practical. It's something that will change your life. It's not just a fleeting feeling or something that may be available to you someday. Some of us think, someday I'll be joyful. Someday I'll be happy. When all my life is in line and everything's okay, and I'm going to tell you this, that's not what joy is. Joy is available today, no matter what you're facing, what you're walking through. I ran across a great statement on choosing joy and how it impacts our lives. You see, to experience joy, we have to choose joy. To experience joy, we have to make the choice that I choose joy in my life. And I love this statement. It said this: when you choose joy, you feel good. And when you feel good, you do good. And when you do good, it reminds others of what joy feels like. And it just might inspire. Don't you love that? I know that the word might is not the word. It will inspire. Not only does joy change your heart, it has the potential to change everyone around you and the potential to change the situations that you're facing. The world is in desperate need of people who will allow the joy of the Lord to fill their hearts to overflowing and then let it pour out on everyone around us. So what is joy? How do we experience joy? The world defines joy and happiness much different than Scripture defines joy and happiness. Many people are chasing after the world's definition of joy and happiness, and they never will truly experience joy and the joy that comes from Jesus. Joy doesn't come with the right job. It doesn't come with the right stuff. It doesn't come with anything that we can find in this world. For the world, joy is fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. Happiness comes and goes depending on your circumstances of life and how you perceive what's going on in your life. In our culture, in the United States of America, the pursuit of happiness is a big deal. Some view that as almost a right. Happiness only truly comes when we find Jesus. If you want to pursue happiness, pursue Jesus. Yeah. If you want to pursue joy, pursue Jesus. Yeah. Many people spend their whole lives trying to find joy and happiness, and they never do, when Jesus in the story of this season is standing right in front of them. Think of the energy people spend on trying to find something that doesn't exist. The definition of joy from the world's perspective. True joy and happiness can only be found in Jesus. We should be focused on pursuing the joy that Jesus came to give us. Pursue Jesus and everything else comes into line. The good news about joy is you don't have to actually pursue it all. All you have to do is choose it. Joy is there. All you have to do, it's not something that you and I have to do anything other than saying, Jesus, I choose you. I choose joy. Our part then is continually choosing joy. When circumstances come into your life and all of a sudden it looks bad, at that moment you say, I choose joy. When you find true joy, you're also going to find true happiness and hope and all that God has promised. You know, so what is true joy? And I love this definition. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. It's all going to be okay. God has everything in His hands. And no matter what you're walking through, you can praise God in every situation of your life. You'll find nothing in that definition about happy feelings or happiness just because you feel good. Because as we all know, happiness from the world is fleeting and temporary, but Jesus can bring joy that will never leave you. It's why we can have joy in the midst of sorrow. Have you ever wondered, you've looked into somebody who's lost greatly, and you go, how can they be joyful in the middle of a difficult situation? How can they have joy when you know what they're facing? We tend to think that life comes in hills and valleys, but in reality, it's much more like train tracks. Every day of your life, wonderful, good things happen that bring pleasure and contentment and beauty to you. And at the exact same time, painful things happen to you, or those that you love will disappoint you, hurt you, or fill you with sorrow. Those two tracks, both joy and sorrow, run parallel to each other every single moment of your life. That's why in the midst of an amazing experience, you might have a nagging realization that it's not perfect. And while you're experiencing something painful, there's the glorious realization that there is still beauty and loveliness to be found. They are inseparable. This is the best news. If you look down the train tracks into the brightness of the horizon, the tracks become one. You can't distinguish them as two separate tracks. And that's how it will be for all of us too. One day, our parallel tracks of joy and sorrow will merge into one. That day we meet Jesus Christ in person and see the brightness of who He is, it will all come together for us and it will all make complete sense. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That there is hope in the future. There is hope for today. In fact, I believe that joy is for today and it will give us hope to see tomorrow as different than today. So how do we choose joy? Joy is something we all long for, but maybe seems often sometimes difficult to grab a hold of. Experiencing joy should be a part of every Christian's life. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit produced by God's work in us, and it's part of God's will for us. Listen to me. Joy is part of God's will for every person in this room. So if you're not experiencing, you have to say, God, why am I missing out on the joy that you have for me? It's His will that you would experience joy. The Bible has a lot to say about joy. In fact, the words happy and happiness and rejoice and joy are mentioned 330 times in Scripture. I want to share with you really quickly three ways to choose joy. First of all, key number one is focus on Jesus. put your focus on Him. What is your focus on? If you choose the track of sorrow, if you choose the track of difficulties to put your focus on, you'll never experience true joy. And that is the constant tension. When difficult times come into your life, what do you choose to focus on? I've been around people who focus on all the difficulties and all the challenges. I remember someone in my life, her name was Gailey, she had had cancer. What a great example of focusing on Jesus. In fact, not only did she have cancer, but she had a 60-pound tumor on her back that was literally the size of a basketball. The tumor had been entwined inside of her. It filled up 70% of her body cavity. There was times, and I remember Gay Lee would dance around the altar in prayer and joy, and she would be hurting so much. And I would sit and I'd think to myself, how can she have joy in the midst of difficulties? And the Lord would remind me. She would show such a perfect example of not focusing on the difficulties, but focusing on the joy of the Lord. It was her strength. I remember getting called to the hospital one night, and she had fallen back on this tumor and had burst open. And she was sitting in agony, crying out to the Lord and singing worship songs because she was so joyful. They had gotten 3 or 4 large jars of fluid out of this tumor, and she was in so much pain. A couple of months down the road from there, she would be on her deathbed. And I remember walking into her room, and she had not been awake all week long. And Paul and I sat down, and we whispered in her ear, and we said, Gay Lee, if you want to go home, it's time. You can go home. And she opened her eyes, and she said, not yet. I've got more to do. Couldn't eat. Could barely. I mean, just a frail. And I thought, what a perfect picture of the joy of the Lord. She went home a couple days later. It's how we can choose joy. What is your focus on? If you want to focus on everything that's wrong in your life, you'll never have joy. But if you put your focus on Jesus, I guarantee you, you will have joy. Put your focus on Him. He's so good. And when we focus on Him, God can do incredible things. To experience joy, we have to keep our eyes on Him. If you dwell on the difficulties or the things that rob contentment for us, you'll never have joy. I love what Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 from the Message says. It tells us, it means we better get on with it. Strip down. Start running. Don't anybody strip down. Start running. And never quit. You'll freeze. It's way too cold. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That exhilarating finish, and with God, He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there in the place of honor, right alongside of God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item. Remember what Jesus did. That long litany of hostility He plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. I love that. It's not to say that we stuff our negative emotions or pretend like nothing's going on. We just don't dwell on them. The moment difficulties come in our lives, we choose joy by saying, God, this is what's happening. I'm handing it over to You because I choose joy. God is the true source of our joy. Apart from God, you'll never know and be able to experience joy. So choosing joy, we choose joy. How do we choose joy? Key number 2, the first step to experiencing true joy is giving your life to Jesus. If you've never done that, you'll never be able to experience true joy. Jesus is the author of joy. And I'm talking about getting down and saying, Jesus, I give You my life. Not just sitting in a pew, not just saying, well, yeah, I know about Him. I'm talking about knowing Him. And I love Philippians 4, 4 through 9. From the Message, it gives us a good idea on how we choose joy. Celebrate God all day, every day. Not just celebrate your problems. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all that you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers. letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays worry at the center of your life. Wow! Summing it all up, my friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Is that not a powerful verse? That is powerful. Talk about how we choose joy. We see the importance of praising God, keeping our mindsets focused on him. Experiencing joy means we choose joy. Staying in close relationship with Jesus is so important. Make that every day. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, Jesus, today I choose joy. I choose you. I choose joy. We also choose joy when we're obedient to God and live according to his ways and his commands. Key number three, and as I wrap this up, live in community with other believers. When we live in community with other believers, it's God's way of pouring joy into our lives. That's why we're so passionate about small groups here at First Assembly. If you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you, get into a small group, get into community with other people. Who you choose, and here's what it is. Here's the deal. Who you choose, pum-pum-pum-pum, not done quite yet. I'm not the little drummer boy. I'm the big drummer boy. All right, just kidding. I don't know where that even came. It's really cold outside. Who you choose to be around and spend your time with is what's going to dictate how you think. It's going to be what dictates your perspective. The truth of it is, you don't need people telling you what's wrong in your life. You need people telling you what's right. You need people that will pour joy into your heart. None of us need to be around Debbie Downer. We need to be around people who will lift us up. Who we spend our time is a big key to choosing joy. If you are constantly hanging around people who are sad and depressed, you're going to be sad and depressed. You don't need friends like Job's friends in the Bible. Okay? You already know what's wrong. You need people who will help lift you up and who will be right beside you. In our church, the best way to live in community with others is get into a small group. Make sure that you're plugged in. I love what Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 tells us. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable and inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Listen, we need each other. Don't just come to church and leave. Get plugged in. Get into community. You need people who will pour joy. Listen, friends, let's be looking for people that we can pour joy into their lives. I'm telling you, there's not one person that needs to hear what's wrong with their life. So let's stop that. Let's be the most encouraging. Let's be the most joy-filled people around, because we have Jesus. If we don't have that, community goes both ways. If you want to have friends, be a friend. I've heard some people that would say, well, I don't have any friends. And my question is, have you been a friend? I've also heard people that will say, well, you know, I just don't know anybody in the church, and I've been there a year. My question is, have you gotten to know anybody? Or do you just slip out the back door when it's all done? We need each other. We need community. We need to be in this body of other believers. Getting around other believers will build strong community and will help you. Listen, joy is meant to be one of the main trademarks of a Christian life. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of God. We best receive this gift when we focus on the truth of who God is, when we commune with him through prayer, and we rely on the community of other believers. I'd like you to bow your heads across this room for just a moment. I'm going to ask you two questions today. First of all, is this. If you have never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you're away from him, you say, Pastor, today, I need Jesus. The Christmas story is great, but if it doesn't change you, it's just another good story. Today, Jesus is in this room, and I guarantee you, he wants to fill your heart with joy. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor, today, I need to make the decision to hand my life over to Jesus. I need to give him the reins of my life. I need to put him in charge. I need to truly be transformed. I need to give my life to him. The Bible says, we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Today, eternal life is being offered to you. And all it takes, the Bible says, is believe in our hearts, confess with our mouth that Jesus is who he says he is, and he is our Savior. It's just a simple process of saying, yeah, that's me, God, I need you. I need you, Jesus. If there's anybody here in this room that would say that, will you just slip up a hand? I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Thank you here. Anyone else? I want to give you a moment. Today, the best thing you could do is make that decision for Jesus. Thank you. Anyone else? The Bible tells us all of heaven rejoices when one person comes to Jesus. Can we rejoice today? Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Church, we're going to pray together with our friend that made this decision today. Let's encourage him. And my friend, will you just pray with us? The Bible says that you become born again when you declare with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. And there's something amazing happens. Let's pray. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for coming just for me. Today I choose joy. I choose you. Thank you for the new life that you have for me. From this moment forward, I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God a hand? At the end of this service, we have a box at the back that we want to give anyone that gave their lives to the Lord as a Bible, as a CD. I also want to take just one more moment. Will you bow your heads one other time? If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, the most important thing I need to do this Christmas is choose joy. Will you pray for me? There's some, maybe you've just been eaten up. And today you're saying, today I need to choose joy. Will you remember me in prayer? Will you just slip up a hand right now? No one's looking around. Thank you, thank you. I choose joy. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just remember me today, Pastor. I need to choose joy. Come on, just lift that hand up. I want to pray. Jesus, right now, God, I thank you for every person in this room who is choosing joy. Lord, no matter what the circumstances are, God, so many times the enemy loves to convince us, God, that there's no hope. He loves to convince us that there's no joy. And Jesus, I pray that you would baptize people with joy today. I pray they would feel a tangible difference in their heart. God, I pray that as we sing and as we've worshiped you today and as we've looked into your word, God, that people would experience joy. Lord, that they would literally feel, Lord, in their hearts, joy rising up. Lord, just coming up in their soul, Lord. God, pushing the disappointment, pushing the fear, pushing the anxiety and depression out, God. And Lord, from this very moment, Lord, I pray that people would choose joy. God, they would experience a new level of joy in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.